Thanks, Wes. Kia ora whānau, take a seat, please. Can we move that just over there? Thanks. I've got a lot to get through. What an amazing conference, just incredible. Kia ora, I'm from Gizzy. Originally from Oamaru. Worked at Pukeori Freezing Works for 13 seasons. That's where I did my time. That's where my ministry started. Well, actually, my ministry started in the house, learning to be the best husband I could be to my wife and the best father I could be to my kids. That's my ministry. That's where my ministry started. And then it started at the Freezing Works, being the best wire cutter on the chain to my boss. That's my ministry. Not a title, not in the church a title. It's ministry. So ministry is giving your best to Jesus and giving your best to people. That's ministry. And some people in the 80s try to break their necks to get a title. I'm in full-time ministry now. What is full-time ministry? I'm in full-time living. It's a lifestyle. Yeah. So anyway, so kia ora, everybody. Greetings from Jess. Greetings from Te Whare o Te Atua, o Turanganui Kiwa, the House of Breakthrough up in Gizzy. Greetings to you all in Jesus' name. And I'm blessed to be sent by them, or to be invited here and to be sent. These guys, amazing. I know you know that, amazing. But and the leadership team and all of the servants. I met many of you last night. And it was just an amazing team. And this is a church of giant killers. You got giants, spiritual giants in this house. And giants kill giants. And I just want to honor this church. And as Jesus said, if I can go to a house, I can release a blessing to it as an apostle. Now, I'm not into titles. But the reason why you need to understand why I'm an apostle is because if you call for a plumber and you want your electricals fixed, but you think a plumber's going to fix it, you're never going to be happy with the job because that's not his function. But if you think he's a plumber, then that's all you're going to get. You're going to get your plumbing, but your electricals are not going to get. And so if you call a pastor and you want an apostle's blessing, or you call an evangelist and you want a prophet's blessing, you're going to get it. And so it's just recognizing the functions of God that he gives people. It's not the person. It's not me. I'm nobody. It's the function of God on different members of the body of Christ. And that if you honor a prophet in the name of a prophet, you get a prophet's reward. But if I'm going to honor a prophet, oh, hello, pastor, oh, hello, evangelist, I want to, God's got a divine order. And so when I was in India many years ago, this pastor said to me after 2 weeks of seeing miracle signs and wonders, church grew by about a couple of hundred, and he said, "You are not pastor. Oh no, you are apostle. Pastor cannot do these things. No, you are apostle. We honor you as the apostle." I mean, it means apostle. And what I recognized his honor. He's not worshiping me. He's not worshiping man. He's honoring the gift of God on my life, which opened up his people, and it drew out of my ministry, out of my wairua, out of my gifting, what I have not yet seen drawn out in this nation. And the Lord says it's because of honor. Even Jesus in his own hometown couldn't release the best to his own people in his hometown. But he goes tippy hardy up the road to Capernaum, and there the centurion's not even a Hebrew. And he says, "I haven't seen faith like this in all of my mutu." And so honor, humility, and hunger. If you have those three things, you get the perfect storm of God. Yeah, so that's why it's a gifting on me. And I want, you get the receive the best. It draws it out of you. I sit under apostles all the time. And, man, I just can't stop writing. Prophets, I sit under fivefold ministries. Anybody can, God can use anybody to bring a blessing. But he uses, the ones he's called leaders. We don't worship them. Anyway, got too much work to do. So I love you guys. You're awesome. Thank God. Ooh, thank God the front lines are lining up. There hasn't been many on the front line for a long time. And there used to be, they all died. They all died and they didn't leave their flipping, they didn't show us how to do it. They just died with their secrets. Yeah. Righty, what is it going to do, Jesus? Okay. No, my hari mai te wairua tapu. I just yield my will to yours, Father. Just your will. So if it's your will, let the wind come. And if it's your will, let the fragrance come. And if it's your will, let the fire come. Thank you. I would have to my Korero my ano. Yeah, I tricked you, didn't I? I mean, the first verse to the last verse. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come speak with us again. So some of you will smell this fragrance, like, and it's just a whiff sometimes, and sometimes it's an abiding, just a beautiful, strong, like cassia or myrrh, or actually some people smell like barbecue, the fragrance of change. Might be you on the altar, I don't know. It might be Kai. And just, it's the presence of Holy Spirit just walking among us. He's so gentle and so powerful. But and so you'll smell him. And if you're smelling him, smelling that fragrance, and if you've got emphysema or lung problems, just breathe it in, and you'll find your lungs will just clear up like that. And some of you will feel a wind blowing on you. And there's fans blowing, but it's a physical one. I usually feel it on the face. And if you feel that, lean into it. Lean into the wind of his presence. Catch the wind like a sail. Catch it. I'm not going to prophesy over you, but you can catch your own prophecy. You can just listen. If you feel the wind of God blowing on you, then you just listen to what he's saying to you. I am over spoon-feeding God's people. Flipping. Do it yourself. 40-year-old Christians and nappies still wiping their butt. Come on. No more infants tossed to and fro. Anyway, come on, I need to assault people. So, shit. And like with, I love the body. I love the church. I love the church he's building. And I take responsibility that I have been an instrument of division in this nation. I've been part of the problem. A divided house can't stand. It falls, and I've had to repent and continually watch my heart that I'm not being part of the problem. I want to be part of the solution. And I want to be part of a united church instead of, you know, moaning about the unity that's not there. Well, how about I try to be some of the unity that, you know, be the unity that we want to see. Be the united house of God that we want to be it instead of moaning about it. Now I'm slapping myself. Thank you, Jesus. So, my message is, you may be armed, but are you dangerous? You may be armed, but are you dangerous? You can have all the weapons in the world, but if you're not using them, you're not dangerous. You're just on show. And while I was sitting there, I had this thought came to mind that there are some of you here, my beautiful friends, whānau, and you, God gave you something. He gave you his word. He gave you a story. He gave you a message that can cut down the enemy. But I saw many of you, you put your sword, you sheathed your sword. And you sheathed it. And you've got to get it out again. It's a time of war. It's when kings go to war. It's not a time of peace. King David, it was a time of war when kings go to war, but instead of going to war, he sheathed the sword and he stood on the battlements and he let lust get into his life and it destroyed him in the season when kings go to war. And if you don't use the energy of God on your life for the season he's called you, it's going to lead you to your flesh and into sin. And the devil will make sure he robs you of the battles you were designed and ordained to go and to win for Jesus. And so don't, you know, if you know who I'm talking to, take your sword back out. Because I heard the click. Then I heard this sound. Then I heard, it said, take your sword back out. That's what the whole conference is about, isn't it? No more hooey hooey. It's dooey dooey. I was telling the whānau last night about when I first went to Gisborne. And so there's an area down by Wairoa called Uruwera. It's in region. It's where the Tūhoe tribe mainly come from, children of the mist. And I was ministering on, well, let me say, I was ministering to a guy. He came to our church. He came stoned, eh? And he walked into the building, and he didn't realize the door's right there, so everyone is looking at him, and he's out of his head. And my mate Whittemore brought him along. He said, "Oh, come here, some good music, bro. Oh, sweet ass." I went, and he went, "What sort of music is this?" And Whittemore was a big guy, and he couldn't get out. So he said, "Oh, come on." So poor old Zach, he went down the back there. Anyway, he had been in pain for years. God healed his back. And then I said, "If you need to give your life to Jesus, come on forward." And his hand goes up, and he doesn't even know. He pulled his hand. "Come on forward, bro, I see your head." And he's walking down like this. Gets saved. Goes back down to Tauranga. He's living down at a place called Tauranga. And now with us, with Māori people, you know, supernatural is normal. And so there are some people know how to move in the dark arts. And they'll command a spirit to get into an animal, an owl, kihua, get into an owl or to a possum or a hedgehog. It'll come onto the property and bring the curse onto the property, go into the house, bring sickness into the people, or purangi. So it's normal stuff. And so Zach was there, and his flippant owl flew in, Warport threw in it, and that's a sign of death to his iwi or his hapu. "Nah!" So he rings me, "Come and do a ghostbust, please, can you?" "Zebra, come on." So we went down and did a ghostbust on the house, and there's another guy there, he'd broken his back in two places playing horse polo, so he had plates in his back, and we prayed for him, and God snapped his back together just like that. He was one of the local drug dealers, gave away his drugs that night. He threw them out and gave them away. Went to his brother, who's a Ringatū priest. A Ringatū is a Māori religion. Its prophet is Tukoti. And if you don't know anything about that, it's like you can do your own research. And this priest said to the brother that got healed, can this fella come and pray for me? He said, yeah. So I went around, and his name's Reuben. He'd broken his tailbone. Been off for it for 2 years, had diabetes. So I pray for him in his backyard. It's not at church, this is in his backyard, eating scones and drinking tea. No wonder they got diabetes. And God healed his spine instantly. He just felt it snap into place, all the pain gone. So I said, "Oh, I believe in this Jesus. My grandmother talked about a Jesus that had power." I says, "Yeah, he's the Son of God, same yesterday, today, forever." I says, "Religion won't save you." We're at Elam Church. I said, "Elam won't save you. Ringatū won't save you. Denomination can't save you. There's only a person can save you. His name is Jesus. Or in Māori, Ihu, Ihu Karaiti." He said, "Could you tell us what to say to my whānau? I'm going to go down and tell my whānau." So he's a priest. He's got big influence on the marae. I said, "Yeah, bro, say this. Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Wash me with your blood and fill me with your Holy Spirit. Amen." "Oh, okay, can't wait." Off they go. True story. He comes back a few days later. I said, "Oh, how did it go with the whānau?" He says, "Oh, no, I don't, not too good." I said, "Ooh, what happened, bro?" "Oh, we did that prayer you said. Place was packed, house was full. Oh, people started fainting, and it got so hot we had opened all the windows. You know what we do? What did we do?" I said, "What?" God moved. Brand new baby Christians. When we move, God moves. And those who put your sword back in your scabbard, take it back out. See, if we're not faithful in a move of God, why will God send a revival? Why will he? And we can't create a revival, but we can create a move of God. We can create a move of God is whenever you prophesy over somebody, that's God moving through you. That's a move of God. You know, stop looking for the big dead come back to life and all that. Just be faithful with the little that you have. And I teach my guys how to be faithful with the gifts of God that they got. And they see moves of God all over the city. Moves of God are like the fuse that they can ignite to. Hey. And so what happened here? So I went down and then we preached on Marais for 3 years and so forth. So many, many people came to Christ that way. So that was that story. Can we show the first video clip? I think it's... So there's this woman walking along in pain in India. And I said, "Amma, come here." And I spoke the word of God. You know, you might be, but are you dangerous? You can carry the word of God in your head and your heart, memory verse, but you've got to know how to use it to hit the demons. If you don't know how to use it, hit the sickness, cut the sickness off. When Jesus was attacked by the devil in the wilderness, he didn't sing worship. He didn't intercede. He fasted, but he said, it is written. It is written. It is written. See, the sword of the Spirit is the spoken word of God. The two-edged sword is the spoken word of God. Not the thought word, not the academic word. It's the spoken word of God. And when he spoke the third time, the devil backed off. You can use a baseball bat to smash somebody's hand, but you can't use a baseball bat to smash a demon. Because they're spirit beings, and you need spirit weapons for spirit beings that afflict human beings. And there are many spirit beings living inside of human beings that are not going to come out unless you use spirit weapons, which I'm going to have to show you how to deal with that. So this is a woman, and she's walking along, and you're just here, and I'm quoting Colossians 2:13, 14, 15, that the moment Jesus blotted out the handwriting of our thorns, which is our sin, the principalities were disarmed. Satan, you have no right over her. Up you get, armor. Just like that. It's no big, long prayer. Thanks, bro. I think it's the lady with the back.
Get out of her back. I release you of all your pain. I release you of all your pain, darling. I release you of all your pain. It leaves you now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Loose her! In the name of Jesus. Satan. Jesus blotted out the handwriting of an ordinance. Thank you, Jesus. Before she was even born, you had forgiven her of her sins, cleansed her of her iniquities, and healed her of her disease. Thank you, Holy Ghost, for confirming this wonderful work today. Satan, you know your claim over her, your jurisdiction's been broken. She now belongs to the Son of God. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Come on, Nama. Stand up.
It is written. It is written.
That's right, darling. That's right. Walk now. Come.
No.
Better? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Grab Thanks, bro. Yep. Can't wait. I was up at Silverdale, just north of Auckland, and this fellow walks in, and I thought it was an old mate from the past, an old bikey mate. Oh, cheer, bro. But he wasn't. It was a mistaken identity. He didn't know me. And he went, sure. So anyone want to give their life to Jesus? He puts his hand up. Oh, sweet, bro. So I led him a prayer. Just say, Jesus, come into my life. He went, can't talk. So, but God can hear his wairua, his spirit. So I just kept leading him. And then he started manifesting big time. And then he settled down and did it. By the time he finished the prayer, he'd manifested about three times. He says, okay, it's leaving, it's not coming. When you ask Jesus to come, it leaves. And so he told me later on, well, we'll play the video, Steve, brain damage. Okay, this is my friend Steve. You have to look sideways.
My name's Stephen. And it was only last year I could not speak. And since God putting Norman my pathway, I've been able to speak normally. Wow. I'm so grateful to Norman the Lord.
Oh, Jesus is amazing. This is Nige.
Hey guys, I introduced Stephen to Norman last year. When he first came into this church, we actually had to drag him through the doorway.
Wow.
We couldn't. He wouldn't walk in. He manifested
right?
That much.
You had to drag you in.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and Norm prayed over him, and the spirit left him, and now he's speaking and getting better every day. Thank you, Lord.
How many fits a day did you used to have?
The most got up to about 57.
57 fits in a day. Mm. How many do you have now?
Today I've had none.
None.
Had many a week.
Wow, all week. Wow.
Last week I had a couple.
Mm. Yeah. That's a huge change. Mm. And your brain was, how much had been damaged was it an accident?
50%.
50% damage. Mm. And look, you're speaking, God's.
Thanks, bro.
So it's all about Jesus. So he couldn't talk. And so I go to this meeting and he's there. So Steve-o. He said, Norm, I just had to come and say thank you. What? He's talking normally. Thank you for what Jesus did for me. Yeah. I carry cures for incurable. I don't even know I'm carrying them. I honestly don't. Because it's not even my faith. Sometimes just the faith of the people. I've raised the dead twice. Once it was my faith, but the first time it wasn't my faith. I didn't know the kid was dead. So it wasn't my faith. It wasn't the kid's faith. I think it was the mother's faith. She's just crying out, and the Lord says she's like the widow of Nain. But you've got to have a go. You've got to pray. Don't wait for it to come to you. Just do something. And move. When you move, God moves through you. It's called faith. Faith is an action. Unbelief is inaction. We know God can do this, but we'll just wait. Mark 16:17, Jesus said, "These signs will follow those who believe. In my name you'll cast out devils, lay hands on the sick, they'll recover." He said, "Now go out and do it." And as they went, verse 20, it says God worked with them, moving through them, confirming their word with signs and wonders. Following. As they moved, God moved through them. It's a basic principle. Hear me? As they move, God moved through them. When they stop moving, God stops. And I find as I move, God moves through me. I'm just as astounded as anyone else at miracles like that. I was carrying the cure for this guy's brain damage. I didn't even know it. But unless I had to go and stepped out, did the doey-doey, not the hooey-hooey. And I just want to stir you up, those of you who have put your sword in your scabbard, you need to get it out. Because you're going to wither up and you go to heaven. But we're all going to give an account one day what we did with what he gave us. And life doesn't revolve around you in heaven. It revolves around the throne of God, the will of God, the Lamb of God. And as it is in heaven, it's meant to be on earth. And the reason your sword's in your scabbard, because your life's revolving around yourself. Maybe it's revolving around self-pity. Maybe it's revolving around disappointments. Maybe it's revolving around some genuine trauma that you have. But in heaven, your life revolves around God. I don't belong to myself. I'm his. Whether I like it or not, I've got to suck it up and get back to why I was created, to give God, glory to God, to be used of God, to finish the work he sent his son Jesus to do on the earth. So I'll tell you a dream I had a couple of years ago, about a two-hour dream. It felt like 2 hours. I got taken all over the nation, all over the world. And I got taken back into history, way back in time, way back to the days of Jacob. And I got taken into, I don't know who this dude was, but Jesus was next to me. He said, and I saw this man in a boat, a Middle Eastern boat. And he had this treasure chest, and he was holding onto it like this, and he's looking over his shoulder. And I thought, he's up to no good. He's got something valuable, and he's going somewhere he shouldn't be. But because he was looking behind him, he didn't see his boat was taking him into a huge storm, huge thunderstorm, and waves. I thought, fire, you're going into destruction. And I'm looking at this fella doing this. It was a big boat. He wasn't the only one on the boat. And Jesus said, "Do you know who he is?" I said, "I have no idea, Lord." He had a beard. And he said, "That's Jonah." I got taken back into history. He said, "That's Jonah." I thought, what? Why are you showing me? And I know straight away what he's showing me. Jonah's taking the gift I gave him to rescue a city. And he's using his gift, not for me, for himself. And so will happen to anyone who uses a gift I gave them to save a city, a nation, a continent, and they take their gift where they shouldn't be. So will happen to them. They're going into stormy waters. And so I want to say that to you. I share that as a warning in love. You got a gift. It's not for you. It's to help save a family, maybe a town, maybe a city, maybe a nation. But when you just protect it and you're more focused about how you feel about the gift than what it's meant to be used for, you're heading to stormy waters, and God loves you, but you're heading to stormy waters because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Don't be like that miserable prophet Jonah. Turn around, because Jesus showed me, turn around. And if you are, I've got people that should be in our church because they got born again, they got saved, they got mantled, they got fathered and mothered in the house, and then they up and left and took the gift and they're in some other church. And I'm not into denominational, that you belong to me. No one belongs to me. No one belongs to anyone but to Jesus. But they're meant to get their birthright from their spiritual father. But they got all sort of hoo-ha and proud and arrogant. Some of them. And they're using the gift in other churches, but they're not succeeding. So just be careful. Yeah, if you're more focused on your ministry than your loyalty and your faithfulness to the will of God, you're wasting your time. Use the gift for what it was given. So that was part of the dream. Then I saw another, and so I got yanked out of that time zone, back to this other time zone, and there's an old fellow, he's half blind, and he's got a white beard, and he's sitting there, and I see another fellow come, and he's got these goat skins tied to his over his hands, and he's got a plate of stew. And he comes in, and his dad says, he says, come here, son. Smells like Esau, but it's the voice of Jacob. No, Dad, it's... Now I see him eating his kai, then I see him bless this guy who's Jacob. It's Isaac and Jacob. And I saw him blessing. And I'm watching this, and Jesus, look at this. And then Esau came around the corner, and he saw Jacob, and I saw the eyes of Esau were bukana, man. And he said, I will kill you when Dad's dead. I will kill you. And so Jacob's mother, get out of here, go to your uncle. And so I saw this, and Jacob's like, Forrest Gump, run, Jacob, run. And he's running through the wilderness. He gets tired, he has a moy, and then he sees these angels coming and going. I said, Fire, he's having a divine visitation at Bethel. He says, yes. And then he ran to his uncle, and he stayed there for 14 years. He got swindled. The Lord says, look at this man who I use greatly. A man who stole the birthright from his father and his brother. His mother was a liar and a thief as well. His mother's brother, his uncle, was also a liar and a thief. The woman he married was also a liar and a thief, stole her father's. And yet I used him greatly. I said, what's up with that, God? You use a line of liars and thieves. He says, keep watching. So I keep watching. It's like a movie. And then I see Jacob just before, and he's coming back to the land of his forefathers, the land of, would you say birthright? He's coming back to the land of his birthright, the land of his inheritance. And just before he gets there, he knows Esau's going to kill him. He's coming with 400 men, and Esau is not a pulferi. It's a wakatua. It's war. I'm going to kill you. And so the demons in this guy, they're going to come to kill this fellow. Jacob recognizes and understands his faults, his sin. And he's wrestling with God. But God said, no, he's not wrestling with me. He's wrestling with his conscience. He's wrestling with the injustice that he hasn't faced. He's wrestling with the lies that he hasn't taken responsibility for. He's wrestling with all the things in his life that are wrong, because unless he wrestles and deals with these things, he will never enter the land of his inheritance. He has to go in now under my tikanga, not earth's tikanga, but heaven's tikanga, heaven's rules, heaven's ways. And I was like, wow, I thought he was wrestling with you. He said, I can waste him like that. So he's wrestling. And then finally, Jacob resolves and he gives up on himself, and God touches him. The moment Jacob wrestled and took responsibility for all the crap in his life, forgive his uncle for ripping him off, ask for forgiveness for lying to his dad, dishonoring his father, his brother. Yeah, he wrestled with all that stuff, all that inner garbage stuff. He dealt with that stuff. So many Christians haven't dealt with stuff. He dealt with that stuff. As he did that on earth, dealing with this spiritual crap, God released something from heaven to his brother Esau. When you bless those who curse you, God releases something to those who curse you. When you love those who hate you on earth, God releases something from heaven to those who hate you. And God released something in the spirit to Esau, who was coming to kill his brother. There's grace happened, and suddenly Esau softens. And finally, when he meets Jacob, Jacob sent all these gifts before him. And Jacob said to Esau, when I see you, my brother, I see the face of God. And instead of seeing danger, murder, judgment, he says, I see the face of God. And I've had to wrestle with stuff in my heart. I've had to wrestle with disappointment. I've had to wrestle with those who have cursed me. I've had to wrestle with those who have ripped me and my family. I've had to wrestle with this stuff. And you know you're free when you can see the face of God in that wrestling. You can see the face of God. As Joseph said, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And then he said, I was in the place of God. And in that place of wrestling, sometimes you think, where are you, God? He said, I'm here. Oh, where are you? I'm here. Be like me. Be like me. What? Help me. No, just do what I told you to do. Wrestle with the stuff. Take personal responsibility. Some things you don't need to call the pastor for. You don't need a prayer for. You don't need a prophecy. You don't even need counseling. Sometimes you just need to forgive somebody. Sometimes you just need to suck it up. Sometimes you need to forgive yourself. And so a lot of people don't know how to wrestle with God and deal with stuff. Can you see this up here, okay? So I felt, yeah, okay. I had demons in me because I invited them. I didn't know Jesus, but I knew how to say to the devil, come into my life. And from that point in time, I know the place I did it. After a seance, and I knew immediately what happened. My life went downhill, and just terrible things started happening to me, unexplainable things, supernatural things. And death. I want to go deep into it, but it was bad. It was dark. It was very dark. I wasn't a Christian. It was very dark stuff. And so these demons got a foothold in my life, and they got a foothold in my life through the pain of what somebody calls me. And in my early days, I had a relationship. It split up. And the wound that calls me in my soul, the pain, the emotional pain, it just wrecked me. I never felt pain like that in my life. It was so painful that I was going to kill some people and then kill myself because I didn't want to live with this pain. And so it got right to that point where that was a physical action that was going to be the response of the pain. I didn't kill anybody, thank God, and obviously I didn't kill myself. But the angel was there to protect me. He protected me several times and taken my life. So I flew over to Aussie and I bought a one-way ticket, and I lived in Aussie for about 3 years. But the pain never went away. And while I'm in Aussie in the early days, I get crying drunk every night. You'd never see it. It's been in my heart. On the outside, on the inside, I'm just a mess. And so I went all through that drama, 13 years of manic depression. But when I met Jesus, a lot of pain left, but that didn't leave me. I'm a born-again, spirit-filled Christian. I can prophesy. I can heal this. I lay hands on the sick. I can do this stuff in church. But every now and again, I'll have a memory about what this woman did to me. And the memory would trigger off the emotion. And even though I'm a Christian, I felt as depressed or as angry 13 years later as I did back then. So I had demons cast out of me. I had deliverance. I had anointing with oil. I fasted. I prayed. I had hands laid on me. Shandabada-bada-bada-bada. Everything. And nothing worked. This flipping darkness was on me. My pastor said, I believe God wants you to be a pastor. I said, nah. I don't want to be a hypocrite. I'm not free myself. So I don't want to be a pastor, tell people what Jesus can do. He's done a lot for me, but he hasn't healed. I'm not free. And Jesus said, I will free you tonight. Or I said, do you want me to be a pastor? He says, yeah. Well, I said, you have to free me. He said, I'll do it tonight. Come down to the park. It's a park where I prayed in Omaru. So I went down there, and he told me, he says, son, the reason why you're in torment, the reason those demons have got hold of that thing in you is because your heart's broken. You have a wound in you. You have a wound in you. Until your wound's healed, these demons are not going to leave you. They have access through your unforgiveness to this one that hurt you. I said, oh, no, I've forgiven her. He says, no, you haven't, son. You forgave from your mouth, not your heart. And you can't forgive her without my power. John 21, I think it is, where Jesus came. And this is in the Pentecost. He, after his resurrection, he went, receive ye the Holy Spirit. He was empowering his people to do something. Then he said, whoever sins you forgive will be forgiven. Whoever sins you retain will be retained. He says, you need the power of my Holy Spirit to forgive at this level. And he said, you haven't done it with the power of the Holy Ghost. You've done it with your own heart, with your own mouth. And I said, no, I have. I prayed that prayer many times. I said, Lord, forgive her for what she did to me. He said, no, you haven't. You've still got bitterness and anger in your heart. I said, no, I haven't. And then he gave me a flashback of her in bed with this guy. And he said, what would you say to her now? And out of my mouth came, you effing slut. Don't look so religious at me. God knows what you're thinking. He knows what you're going to say before you even say it. And I went like this. And he said something similar. Don't be so religious. He said, be honest. Be honest. You think I can't see this? I'm trying to show you what's in you that you don't know. And I love you and I want it out of you. But you can't forgive her until you get your anger out first, and then you can forgive her. I'm giving you a lesson here. Until your anger's out, your forgiveness can't come. Because the anger is 97% of clinical depression is caused by suppressed anger. And though I had forgiven her, I wasn't honest. I hadn't let my anger out. I said, how do I get my anger out? He says, you speak to her as if she's in front of you right now. Don't go and talk to her. Speak to her as if she's in front of you. Because I'm right here too. And you get out and you tell her all the things you've never told her. So I told her how much I hated her guts and I wanted to kill her. And I felt the Lord say, at last, you're being honest. It's not sin to be angry. But to retain sin and let it burn, it will turn to resentment and forgiveness. It can turn into violence. It can turn into murder. Be angry, but sin not. So I'm getting this anger out, and it feels good. And after the anger came out, this took about 10 minutes, I started weeping like a baby. Snot and everything coming out of me. And I said, what is this? And then something came out of my mouth like a snake. Oh, man, the taste was so foul. What's that? He said, it's the spirit of bitterness that's just left you, son. That was defiling your relationships, and that's your grief, and that's your the grief and your sorrow has left you. And after about 10 minutes of that, he said, now can you forgive her? I says, I forgive you, and I meant it with all my heart. I said, I tear up the IU. And then Jesus is there, and, forgive me as I have forgiven her. Do you know that's the Lord's Prayer? When we ask God to forgive us as we forgive others, and if we don't forgive others, he doesn't forgive us. And that allows the tormentors to take us. Matthew 18, the guy that owed the king $1 million, and the king, he wouldn't pay it. Well, the king let him off, canceled his debt, and freed him, terminated his prison sentence. And that guy went and found his mate, owed him $20, and was got him thrown in prison. So the king heard about this and says, you worthless servant, I forgave you $1 million. Couldn't you have forgiven your mate $20? Threw this guy into the prison, amplified version, with the tormentors. And God says your unforgiveness was what was tormenting you. The demons had access to you. The moment I forgave, the demons had no more access. There's got to be healing. You know, I cast devils out all the time, but I found I've got to find what is it, what's the door they got in. If you don't shut the door they got in, they'll go out, they'll go tippy hiri, and they'll find some worse ones, and they'll come back in. And so sometimes they just come out like that, but other times, most times, you've got to find the door. And the door is usually some form of trauma, some form of sin. And in this case, it was me and not forgiving. I thought, shouldn't she forgive me? She hurt me. Shouldn't she crawl across broken glass and beg my forgiveness? Really? And Jesus says, and should I, and should, and what did I do for you? I said, oh, yeah. I forgave you and you owed me much more than she did. This is fair call, God. How can I not forgive when you've forgiven me so much? And that's the grace of God on us. How can we not? And so I forgave her. And her, this testimony has set hundreds of people free. She has no idea to this day. See, you're going to have all the fruit of a tree. If you pluck an apple off an apple tree, it's not going to kill. The apples will just keep growing. They'll just keep growing. If you cut the root of a tree, though, the apple tree, the apples will die by itself. And we've got to find the root causes. If there's demons in us, if there's systemic cycles and patterns of curses on our lives, stop plucking the fruit and ask God, what's the root? And put the axe of repentance. When you kill the root, the fruit dies. And that's what God had to deal with me. The root. For 6 years as a born-again Christian, spirit, prophesying, healing the sick. But I had this fruit, this depression would come upon me every time this woman would come and visit Jess, because she lived around the corner. Once a week, she would come and visit Jess. When she walked in the room, it's like a little black cloud coming over my spirit. And I just feel depressed. So I'd bind it and rebuke it. And you know how we do as Christians. In Jesus' name, I'd fake it till I admit I didn't make it. After I went through this process of the healing of the broken heart, when she walked into the house from that point on, it's like, I still remember, but I don't feel the pain anymore. And when God heals you, he doesn't take away your memory. He takes away the pain connected to that memory. Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. He's anointed me to preach the good news to the poor and to heal the broken heart. There's anointing that heals broken hearts. There's an anointing to heal broken hearts. We just think of the anointing to heal broken bodies, but there's an anointing to heal broken hearts. Psalm 23, he restoreth my soul. Matthew 12 somewhere, or 11, that Jesus says, come and learn of me, and you'll find rest for your soul. Your soul is your mind, your emotions, and your will. It's not your spirit, it's not your body. It's not your tinana, it's your soul. And I find most Christians have got broken hearts. Most Christians haven't dealt with the soul. They need restoration of their soul. And some of the reasons for the physical sickness is because of the soul. Beloved, may you prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. And if the soul's not prospering, the body won't prosper. And your spirit can be strong as, but you've still got a broken heart. And so I teach this at Worry Activist course. I'll be doing a course down here in a couple of months or so. And it's a two-day course, you know, a 30-minute message isn't going to help equip you. And a 2 days isn't going to do it either. But it's going to give you something to get you off your butt and out there doing something. Yeah, ask the ones who have done the course how it's helped them in some degree. It's not perfect, but it helps. So I just felt, you know, as you came up to me, I just felt I better share that because I see spirits on people, but I know I'm not to cast the demon out because there's a wound there. And it's eating, it's feeding off the wound. And the only way the wound can be healed, number one, is lordship. Number one, I had to bow to the lordship of Jesus. And he said, you're going to have to forgive us, son. Why? Because I forgave you. Oh. Okay, true. He's either Lord of all or Lord not at all. And it's lordship, fine. It's the old-fashioned lordship of Jesus Christ. Not my will, but yours be done. Repentance. I choose to the deliberate act of my will to turn away from thinking resentment and unforgiveness. And I choose to forgive that person. The first couple of weeks we were in Gisborne, when we first moved to Gisborne, hadn't started church, so I had a part-time job going door-to-door for the census department, taking census forms and so forth. And as I was sitting there talking to this old gentleman one night, he just began to manifest at me and curse at me and swear at me, but blaspheme as well. And I knew it wasn't a human being. It was a spirit being inside the human being, cursing me. And I says, no skin off my nose, mate. You'll get fined for this. And it's the government you're angry at, not me, but get off my effing property. So I did, but I went back later on, found his wife and got her to fill in the forms. I said, this is going to cost you hundreds of dollars. Just anyway, so it was about a week after that, I'm in my house praying. As I'm praying, worshiping God, it's like somebody came and put a wet, like a wet sack over me. It was heavy, it was wet, and all I wanted to do is jump up and shout like a madman and run down the street going, ah! This thing came on me. Physically, literally, tangibly, it wasn't imagination, it was, wah! And I know Jesus more than, you know, what the heck is this? And Jesus said, you're being cursed. I said, by who? And he showed me the face of the man, this fella. And I wish I could say I was so saintly and so godly, my reaction. What? After what I did to help you, you curse me? Jesus' son, bless him. I said, I want to bless him, all right, with a fivefold. I couldn't, just this, what? He said, bless him, son. So I said, I blessed him, and I didn't mean it, but I blessed him. And I know you just keep doing it. You fake it till you make it. I bless you. I bless your family. I bless your marriage. I bless you. And then the real blessing began to flow out. And I blessed him. Then his face disappeared and the thing lifted. And I was free. See, unforgiveness, resentment, it gives access to demons and curses. When I raised him, that was a car pie. It was all fine. Until a week later, I was working with his niece. She said, oh, I can't come to work tomorrow. I said, why? His granddad dropped dead on his doorstep. I said, oh, what's your granddad's name? She told me her name. It's that guy. And I freaked out. Oh, God, I didn't do that. He said, no, I did. Now, some of you are going to struggle with that. He is the God who changes not. Therefore, sons of Levi, you're not consumed. He is the same yesterday, today, forever. You're the God of love. Why would you do that? He said, I delivered him into the hand of the master he chose. That's all I did. And he said, furthermore, son, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. And some of you might struggle with this. It is written. That's why I'm not dead. That's why curses can't touch me. Demons can't kill me. Principalities can't take me out. As long as I stay yielded as a lordship, they can't touch me or you. But outside of the grace and the will of God, so I like staying under the umbrella. You know? So no demon has power over any human being when they're under the lordship of Jesus Christ. There's a guy with 2,000 demons in him in the Bible, Gadarene demoniac. And this guy comes and bows before Jesus. 2,000 demons couldn't stop him from bowing to the lordship. The human will, God gives us a will to make deliberate choices. The moment I bowed to Jesus, these demons left me. Suicide, grief, depression. 13 years of manic depression went in about 20 minutes. 13 years of manic depression. I had manic depression. Went like that. I'm free. Hallelujah. So there's some basic. Jesus is the author and the finisher. The beginning and the end, but life is not just beginning and end. We are living through the process, and it's through this process on earth that we're going to learn to let heaven rule on earth as it is in heaven. We're going to learn to walk as we would walk in heaven. So you're in process. You're going to get disappointments. You're going to get defeats. You're going to get victories. You're going to get blessings. You're going to get curses. You're going to get all sorts of stuff. That's it. That's what we're called to. We're not called to a peaceful life. We're not called to an easy life. It's a narrow path, and Jesus said the way is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. It's not talking about salvation. That's a free gift. But to follow Jesus as a disciple, you can be a believer or you can be a disciple. Believers don't change the world. Disciples do. Disciple means they have discipline, that they're submitted to the lordship of Jesus. And he said, Luke 9:23, if you want to follow me, take up your cross every day and follow me. Deny yourself. It's not sin or the devil's got power over us. It's self. My biggest enemy is self, not the devil, not sin. It's self. And he said, Jesus, deny yourself. Don't give yourself some self-support or self-ambition or self-fulfillment. And such a consumer sort of perspective. But in heaven, it's not about self. It's all about revolving around his will in heaven. And that's the way to live on the earth. That's the place of victory. So even the battles, I still got joy. I might be forsaken, but I'm not forgotten. We might be smashed, but we're not destroyed. Because greater is he within us. And the sufferings of this present time aren't worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. And yeah, it is hard. I lost my son. We went through 15 months, 16 months of hell. It is hard. But he always leads us in triumph through his son, Jesus Christ. He does, as long as we stay yielded. So you might be armed, but are you dangerous? You might have the knowledge of how to do this stuff, but are you using it? Are you using it? Are you doing something with it? Because if you're not doing nothing with it, you're just armed. Jesus was armed for, he was armed for 30 years. He was righteous. He's born into the earth righteous. Devil couldn't touch him. And if you read your Bible, you know what I'm talking about. He came into the earth not born of man, not born of sin, but born of God. So he was righteous. And he flew under the radar. I'm sure the devil knew he was there somewhere, but he really didn't either. If he knew, he would have told Herod. Herod would have killed him when he was an infant. So Jesus is born into the earth, and the devil can't touch him, but Jesus can't touch the devil either for 30 years. Think about it. Do you read of any miracle, any demon being cast out, any work of the devil being destroyed the first 30 years of Jesus' life on earth? No. He was armed, but not dangerous. We're armed with the robe of righteousness. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Okay? We're armed. The devil can't touch us because we're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, not self-righteousness. By his grace, we are saved. By his mercy, we are saved through grace. That not of ourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man boast. So Jesus, the first 30 years, he's righteous, he's armed, but he's not dangerous until he gets baptized in the Holy Ghost. And when he comes out of the water of the baptism, the water of Jordan, and the Holy Ghost comes upon, Father, this is my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased. Holy Spirit's there. Jesus is there. There's the Trinity. So Jesus, instead of being led into ministry, he gets led into the wilderness, be tempted by the devil for 40 days and 40 nights. Oh, what a ministry. I got baptized the Holy Ghost. Speaking tongues. Oh, let's go and do and save the world. No, let's go and deal with the giants in you first. 40 days and nights later, Jesus says, it is written. Jesus shows us how to we're armed, but now he's dangerous. Depart from me, Satan. It is written, it is written, it is written. And the devil knows this man's dangerous. He backs off. So Jesus goes to church one day. He normally goes into this church in the synagogue. His old Jack in the pew, he's there every year, been there for a long time, since Jesus was a little boy. And Jack, instead of Jack saying, oh, kia ora, Jesus, what's up? Jack goes, I know who you are, the Son of God, the Holy One. He starts manifesting. What's got into Jack? Oh, it's been in him for a long time. It's been in him for a long time. It's a spirit being living inside a human being. And you know what? The human world realm does not recognize the spirit realm. The transfer of power took place when Jesus went to hell and took the keys of hell and death. It didn't change physically. The wicked still ruled the righteous, but it changed in the spirit realm, where now the transfer of power, the righteous rule the wicked in the spirit realm. And Jesus walks in, and suddenly the demon that rules the human realm suddenly bows his knee before the one who not is only armed, but he's dangerous. He's dangerous. Armed and dangerous. And that's it. You may be filled with the Holy Ghost, but are you dangerous? You might be filled with the knowledge of how to cast out devils, heal the sick, raise the dead, but are you dangerous? If you're not doing anything with it, you're not dangerous. You're not dangerous. And I feel this is the word, the Sunday morning, this is the word for the proceeding of the conference. You've got to activate now what you heard. Please don't be the bunch of, no, you're not. You guys are giant killers, actually. You are. But there are some of you here. Get on board. Some of you didn't even turn up to the conference. What is wrong with you? This is not the love boat. This is a warship. This is a Waikatoa. It's a Waikatoa. If you want the love boat, then go down the road to where they're just saying kumbaya, my friend. This is a warship, because there's people dying, there's whānau dying, there's marriages being destroyed, there's little kids who are being abused in the middle of the night, sexually molested, while you sit here and pray for them. We've got to rise up, and we are. So I'm just going to close on one final thing, if that's okay. I've gone over time. How are we going to wrap this up, Jesus? Oh, hey, let's show that other clip. Oh, there, we're going to wrap on that one. So there's different anointings. And I've had to learn how to be faithful to the anointing on me for one, just for one person. My mates at the Freezing Works. I want to save the world. But if I can't save my neighbor, I want to change the nation. But if I can't change my neighborhood, I want to change the world. But if I can't help change a city, get real. We're going to have a citywide prayer meeting just for the nation. Yeah, well, you show me the streets you've saved, and I'll stand with you because you've got faith by your action. If you've only got waha and no kaha, I'm not interested. I've been doing this for 40 years now, living prayer meetings to save a city, and I'm not against prayer, but I want to pray with people who get prayers answered. You know, I'm looking for new intercessors. I don't want intercessors who pray, oh, we saw in the spirit of victory. Ah, oh, stuff that. I want the victory here on the earth. I want the dead raised here. I've asked God when I was sitting by my son's bed, I said, good Jesus, and I've been walking him for 40 years. I prayed for the sick and seen all sorts of miracles over 40 years. It's wonderful, and I'm grateful to Jesus. But I said, God, I'm broken. Teach me how to pray. I don't even know how to pray. I want to pray and see things done. I want to see things change on the earth like you. When you prayed, things changed. Not just in the realm of the vision of a spirit, of the spirit of vision, but in reality, where there's literal transformation on a nation. I want to pray. So I'm looking for new intercessors. I'm going to sack my other bunch. I want the real deal, man. So there's this, so I'm faithful. I learned to be faithful in the one, and reaching one. The first person I think I saved was Lord led to Jesus at the freezing works. He says, "You look different, Norm." I said, "Yeah, I'm stoned all the time now, bro." Said, yeah, and it's legal. I said, "Oh, what is it?" "Oh, I met Jesus, bro." "Oh, he's a poofter." "See, I know. I told you Christians are poofters, but they're not actually. Jesus is." I told people Christianity is for poofters and weak people, old people. Oh, sorry, did that offend you? Sorry about that. And I said, he's not, and I'm not. And he's real. He says, "Father, you look happy. How do I get there?" I'm sort of depressed. I says, give me a bit. I read a little prayer, a piece of toilet paper, when I went down the wharepaku, my break, wrote a prayer, Jesus come, blah, blah, blah. Took it back out. I said, "Here, bro, take this. When your breakers, go down to the toilet, pray this prayer, see what happens." He says, "Okay." So about 10 minutes later after his break, and he's been, it works, Robbie, boo! I told you. It's like you feel stoned, eh? He says, "Yeah, I feel," it's peace actually, it's not stone, but that's my language. I felt, when I'm stoned, when I used to get stoned, I felt, wow. I said, "It's like being stoned, eh?" It's all the time. And so I took him to church and said, faithful, use what you got with the one. Use what you got. You're not an expert. Just be full of Jesus and let him leak out of you. And then I began to use it to more than one, and then to others and to crowds. And God opened doors for me to speak to a lot. And sometimes there's anointing. It changes towns. It changes villages. I haven't changed a city yet. But we went to India and we saw a church of 130 grow to 3,000 in 7 years. We're now way over 4,000. It's our biggest churches in India. And it's through signs and wonders and miracles. It's through demons being cast out. This was with Muslims and Hindus and communists. So can we show that clip and I'll close on. This is a deliverance anointing. Makes demons scream. There's something in us. There are a couple of hundred miracles took place in that meeting. There's 600 people there. The fear of God was so strong in that meeting. There are 600 people. Only a quarter would stand up for prayer because they were freaking out. The fear of God was so strong, and they knew they were in sin, and some were ready to repent, and some were. It was cool. So in closing, 30 years ago, we were living in Oamaru, and down the road from this house, there was this lady with her children. She had split up with her partner. Her partner was angry, very angry. I was trying to lead him to Jesus, but he wasn't that interested at the time. And one night after church on Sunday, he went into the house while one of our church friends was visiting her down there. And he went in with a knife and he stabbed her 19 times. Then he went upstairs to his daughter, where his daughter was. So my friend dragged the wife, stabbed 19 times, up to our house, 5 doors up, because no one else would open the doors. So we brought her in and called the police, ambulance, Armed Defenders came. This is November 1990. 2 months later, we went to Gizzy. And so the ambulance come, took her away. They said her jugular is 90% cut through. It says 3 more minutes, she'd be dead. And they just got to her in time. And so I went out the back and I was praying, and the Lord said, soon you're going to be asked to go down there. And I says, yeah, I'll go. Better send angels, though. There's a guy down there running around with a knife. But down there, they had the armed defenders, they had the guns out, and they're on the roof, they're creeping around, because he's at the top of these stairs with a knife, and there was a little girl next door. It wasn't his little girl. It was a stepdaughter. He hadn't touched her. But he cut his little girl's throat from ear to ear. So they didn't know she was there. And they heard the sound of a little girl. They thought, oh, she's okay. So they're standing, the police negotiator's there, the Māori warden's there, and this guy won't throw down his knife. He's demon-possessed. His eyes are rolled back, and he's stabbing himself, and I saw this with my own eyes. He stabbed himself in the throat several times with the knife that back, and air gushed out in screams. This is demon possession. This isn't this little sort of, this is the real deal. And I'm looking up there. This is real stuff. And I said, what do I do, Jesus? He said, you pray in tongues real loud. And I said, but what will these fellas think? You can be so self-conscious. How selfish. What? I thought that. And he said, if you don't, someone's going to die tonight. I said, oh, that was, okay. So, I thought, at least it sounds like Māori. They'll think I'm speaking Māori. And see, what was in that man was a spirit being inside a human being. The police guy, and I love the police. I think they're doing, most of them, they're doing a great job. You know, the police commissioner, Andy, he's full on for Jesus. I spoke at a conference a few months ago down in Wellies. And anyway, so the police, they have authority in the spirit over the physical realm, over human beings. But they don't have authority over the spirit beings that live inside human beings, you see. And this is why the police negotiator had no joy, that Māori warden had no joy. But there's someone in you and someone in me who has spiritual authority over the spirit beings that live inside human beings. And this is a spirit of murder. And when I spoke, the spirit of God went and disarmed the demon, and the guy dropped the knife. I was the first up the stairs. I grabbed him, hugged him. He's got 20 stab wounds in him. Went into the room, the little girl, her throat is literally open like that. It's just a horrific sight, but the grace of God's on me. Prayed for her. The doctors took her away. They said she's not going to make it through the night. The priest came out after doing the last rites, but we were praying. And the next morning, I went into the hospital ward, and this little girl sitting up, drinking a milkshake, throat stitched up, reading a book, just smiling away. So God rescued. God rescued her. Did I know what to do? I didn't have a clue. Just move. And God will move through you. If you don't make a move, then God can't move through you. And sometimes you do need to wait and get a divine strategy. I understand that there's a time, a place for that. But in this case, right in the middle, God, you've got to move. And I said, what do I do? He said, do this. Well, it just came as I thought, do this. I thought, well, nothing else is coming, so I'll have a go. And God used it. Obviously, it was the key. And now I just got a message last week. I've always wondered about this guy, where he is now. He gave his life to Jesus eventually inside. And I've always wondered about the family. Always wondered about that little girl. And I've tried to follow up on them. I can't, for no one knows. You know, they didn't know where they were, maybe the protection thing. I just found last week the little girl that was, she contacted me. She said, and so, by the grace of God, I'm going to hook up with her and just tell her what a miracle she is and what a plan of God he has for her. Yeah, she's struggling with stuff. She's struggling with stuff. And, of course, she's struggling with stuff. She said, 30 years ago, a tuhunga prayed over my father and cast something out of him. I'm trying to track him down. Are you that tuhunga? I says, yeah. Tuhunga doesn't mean witch doctor. It means expert. So we're not expert Jesus. I said, yeah, I'm the one. He says, and I couldn't believe it. So I just got such an affinity with her. So I'm looking forward to meeting up with her very soon. maybe the next time I'm down in Christchurch, I'll go. Yeah. So all things work for good. And that was 30 years ago. And we went to Gisborne 2 months later. That type of thing's normal. What I saw in Oamaru, said, "Fire, what's this, Lord?" He said, "I'm preparing you for where you're going. It's crazy up there, man." I don't know how many murders I've been involved in, suicides, call people back from the dead. Amazing. You want to hear about that one? Yes. Well, actually, she didn't come back to life, but I went to this house. I was driving down the road. I said, "Go there, quick." So I went into this house, and there's this fellow that I'm trying to lead to Jesus. He's a schizophrenic, and he's on drugs all the time. So he's either, or, so I knocked on the door, and he's, "Okay, Norm, come on in. Want a cup of tea? I see you, bro." So I stepped over this girl who's lying across the door. So, "Oh, don't worry that, bro. She's pilled out." So up there, they go on the town. They take drugs, and they're in a coma for about 2-3 days. So they just roll them backwards and forwards so they don't drown in their vomit. That's just what they do. It's lifestyle. Maybe a bit different to yours. So I sat down having a cup of tea, and then I hear... And this woman comes around out of the corridor, black eyes, hair everywhere. I said, "Oh, how's the Trish?" "This effing beep, 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 beep was trying to kill me. He was strangling me in the bedroom. And I go, God, help me." He just knocked on the door. I said, "Fire. You just have no idea. You just move. God's moving through you." And he's trying to kill her. But he snapped out of it, and he's having a cup of tea. And he said, "Oh, don't worry about it. She's talking crap." So we had a bit of a corridor. So I left. As I left the house, I stepped over the sister, walking down the path, and the Holy Ghost says, "Go back and pray for that woman on the floor, that she will not die. Her spirit will not leave the earth till she's washed with my blood and born of my spirit." I said, "No, that's not right. Go back and pray for that." "Oh, okay." I says, "John, can I pray for your sister?" "Yeah. Don't let her die until she's washed with your blood and born of your spirit. Amen." Keep the pipe. 7 o'clock the next morning, it was about 4 p.m. at Friday night, I get a phone call from one of the neighbors. "Norm, quick, Joanne's dead." That was Joanne. I said, "What? Is the cops there?" "No one's here." So I rushed around. She's been dead for 3 hours, faces rigor mortis, drowned in her own vomit. They went up partying and left her. And I said, because I just come back from India and seen the dead brought back to life. So, okay, Jesus, we're going to bring her back. "You're going to bring her back?" He says, "No. She's with me." "Then she can't be with you. She didn't even recover. She's a gang girl." "She's with me." "How could she be with you? She didn't do the altar call like at church." He said, "Neither did the thief on the cross." "She's with me." I said, "I don't understand." Then he said, "What did I ask you to pray?" "Oh, don't let her die. She's washed with the blood, born of the Spirit." So, okay. So at the funeral, I told all the gang guys, "This is what God gave me. This is the only comfort I can give you, fellas. You know, she wasn't a churchy. She's a gang girl. But that's all I can give you." They said, "Good enough." 3 years later, there's her best friend, who was in London at the time, is in our church. I didn't know she was best friends. And she's worshiping God, and her spirit got taken over, a brand new Christian. She's like this all through the service. Do you get that in your church? With people just standing around. Leave her alone. It's either God or it's not. She's not harming anybody. And she came out of it, and Jess went and said, "Oh, hi, what's your name?" "Oh, such and such." I said, "Where are you from?" "Oh, I'm from here, but I've been in London." I said, "What happened to you when you were standing?" I said, "I don't know. Oh, I've just given my life to Jesus, but it's like I went to this beautiful place, and there's a big throne, and God was on it, and there are all these trees down this river, and the river you could see right there, it was crystal clear." And I said, "Oh, that's heaven." I said, "Oh, is that what it is? I didn't want to come back." And Jesus said, "I saw on the other side of the river all these people, and they're so happy. And one of them was my best friend that died of a drug overdose 3 years ago, and she's waving at me. And I always wondered what happened to her." And Jess said, "What was her name?" She said, "Oh, Joanne." And he told me the last name. She said, "That's the girl you'll pray for. So tell me more." So I'm not saying that's a license that leave it to the last minute and God will save. I'm just saying that's an experience that I had, and that's the testimony that came back, that God is so merciful. He so loves us. And so if I was But if I didn't go to that house that day, you can be armed, but you're not dangerous. There are spirit beings and human beings, and God gives us authority to deal with them. You don't have to be an expert. You've just got to have a heart that loves God and loves people. Okay, Father, we just thank you for your presence. I've delivered what I think is what you wanted me to deliver. A lot of words there, Lord. So just please, just move the crap that I speak and just let the gold of your word remain here. And that your will is done, Father, in the lives of this beautiful people, this amazing church, this ho hakati, ho repeti, ho shakatata. I don't know what that means. I don't know what that means. But I feel like there's a big angel in here. And I feel like he wants to take the microphone and shout something through it. And I believe, I sense that that angel is speaking through the apostles and the prophets in this house. I sense he's saying he's already spoken through apostles and prophets that hear this conference. And I sense he's speaking every Sunday through people, through his, by his spirit. And it's an angel, it's not the Lord, it's an angel. And there are angels. Yeah, there you go. So I just leave you with that in Jesus' name. Thanks, Wes. Thanks, Janet. It's been awesome being with you guys, that I could stay for a Sunday, you know, instead of just rushing and rush out again. Father, this is awesome. So bless you, whānau. You're a part of our whānau. We love you. If you're up in Gizzy, come and check us out, House of Breakthrough Church. If you want to do a warrior activist course, I'll keep in touch with your pastors. I'll let them know when the dates are and whatever. And so I can only do 20 maximum at one time. So they sort of go very fast. It's not free. It costs you $400, but it's okay. It'll help me win more souls in Pakistan and India. Okay, that's what the money's for. It's to send me over there to get the harvest. It's God's money anyway. It's not yours. So there you go.
Thank you so much, Norm. Just before we go, can we all stand? Can we all say, thank you so much. What you mapped here was just absolutely fantastic. We teach very similar things because of our own experiences, and it just really nailed it. Thank you so much. And those testimonies, wow. And we could sit for weeks just listening to testimonies.
Indiana Jones.
Indiana Jones. Yeah, awesome.